Okay, we're going to start here at the top of Samach Gimel now by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Homer, Harei Alai Machavat, Lo Yavi B'Marcheshet. If you decide that the mincha that you're going to bring, this is a mincha nidava, you say, I'm going to bring a machavat, then you can't bring a marcheshet. B'Marcheshet, Lo Yavi Machavat. On the other hand, if you pledge to bring a marcheshet, you can't bring a machavat. Ma Ben Machavat de Marcheshet. What's the difference between them that you can't bring one or the other? Marcheshet yesh la kisui. Marcheshet is cooked, baked with a cover on it, the mincha. And machavat in la kisui. Does not have a cover. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili says the difference between a machavat and marcheshet is whether it's covered or uncovered. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer. Chanina ben Gamliel says or states the difference as being something that we've been more familiar with, which is marcheshet amuka. It's a deep pan. Umaseha rochashim virakin. And the baking of the mincha in such a deep pot, deep pan, makes it rochesh because the oil gathers together and makes it very oily. So when you touch it, it's somewhat liquidy still. It's not such a solid item. And rach, and it's soft. On the other hand, machavat, tzafa, is very shallow. Maseh kashim, and it's a little more crispy because you're frying it in a very shallow oil, causes it to be crispier rather than softer. Samara asks, my time with Rabbi Yossi. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yossi's position here that the difference between a marchesh and machavat is a kisui, is a cover? So ilim, if you want to say it's because of the psukim, idarshin's psukim, or the words, which is marcheshet da'atya arichushe aleiv. The marcheshet is going to the thoughts of the heart. Rashi over here leans it towards something that's hirei aveira, something negative, although the pasuk that they quote is not necessarily negative, which is kidichtiv, rachash libi davar tov. My heart was stirred or overflowing with something good. So over there, it's not in a negative sense. The pasuk brings it a positive sense, but it's something that's within the heart. Umachavat, and then machavat da atya amachbuye hapet, comes from the utterances of the lips. Kedem amri inche, as people say, minabach, minavach nebuche, or the shita changes it to mabach nebuche. The definition of what's a little unclear, it's either to a prate, which could have idle chatter, or it's a loud, dull sound or a bark. Whatever it is, it's some sort of expression of noise, something coming out of the mouth. So marcheshe would be something in the heart, and machavat would be something from the mouth, an expression of the mouth. One is open, and one is closed. What's in a person's heart is closed, therefore we require kisui. On the other hand, the person's mouth, what they say, or what they express, is available to others, and therefore that would be open, without a cover. Rashi says, you don't have to say that, because ipcha, we have just as much proof the other way. Machavat, because machavat could be referring to the hidden things of the heart, dechtiv. Lamanach beit alivrach, when Lavan chases after Yaakov, he says, why did you sneak away? Why did you leave in the quiet of night and not tell me that you were leaving? Marcheshet, da'ate arachushe, and marcheshet be going on rachushe, da'meinche, abe merachashan siftote, that his lips were quivering. So you see that could be an expression of the outward expression versus machavat would be an inner expression. And we end up with the opposite conclusion about whether it's covered or uncovered. The conclusion is Ella Gemara Gemirala, that it's a Alocha L'Moshe Misinai, it's a Mesorah that he had, that the Marcheshet comes as a covered, and the Machavat comes as uncovered. That's Rabbi Yossi Aglili's position. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, Marcheshet Amuka Dichtiv. How do I know the Marcheshet is a deep pot, deep pan? It says V'chol Anaseh B'Marcheshet. V'Achavat Safa. How do I know the Machavat is a shallow pan? Kidichtiv B'Al Machavat. On the Machavat. So the expression by the marcheshet is bit inside, so it's deep inside, which includes that there's a toch, there's some sort of receptacle, deep area that you place it into, which is the machavat is out, you just place it on top of. It's on, there's a shallow area or it's almost no toch that you're placing it, and that's why it's out, it's on top of the machavat. So Tana Banan, Bichamay Omrim, Homer, Harei Alay Marcheshet, someone who says that I'm going to bring a marcheshet, Imunach Achivo Aleil, should leave it around until Eliyahu comes, because there's an uncertainty here. That uncertainty is Misfekel. Why is it called a marcheshet? Is it a minchat marcheshet because marcheshet is the pan that's used, the deep pot, the deep pan that is used? Or is a marcheshet the action that you take? The mincha is named a marcheshet. So Rashi brings down here, when you say Arei Alai marcheshet, do you mean to bring a mincha marcheshet? Or do you mean to bring the pan to donate to the mikdash, the marcheshet itself? Because we don't know what it's referring to. Is a marcheshet a description of the mincha, or is it a description of the pot or pan in which the minchat marcheshet is made. It's called a minchat marcheshet because it's made in a marcheshet. So here you didn't use the word mincha, you simply used the word marcheshet. So we're uncertain as to what it means. Beit Shammai says, wait until Menachal al Shiva Eliyahu. Tosfos does ask.
What does it mean? It's not, you have to know what to do. So
Tosfos asks your question, though, and he says, listen, anytime we have a nether and you have uncertainty in nether, what do? We tell you to do everything to make sure you discharge it. Tosfos asks, listen, bring a mincha marcheshet and give a pot that's a marcheshet, that's the solution. We always tell you, do whatever it takes to discharge your obligation. So Tosfos comes up with this interesting case, V'yish Lomar, it's the last three lines in that Tosfos, K'gon shehifrish ma'ot v'kdishan marcheshet k'mo shedrusu chachma'im halashon. So he says that, marcheshet, based on what they'll tell him that what it means. Well, since we don't know what it means, we can't tell him what to do. He can't get that instruction. So therefore, we don't know what to do now. He had made it dependent on what we say, and we can't tell him what it is. That's the safek that they have here. The other possibility of safek, which Rashi brings, we don't have it in our Rashi, although Tosfos claims Rashi has it. Number of times here, Tosfos is quoting Perisha Kuntris, which is not found in our Rashi. Rav here says Perisha Kuntris, which is the suffix here, is Deloya Dinan Lahaini Kavain. We don't know what he meant. Because we gave before, there are two interpretations of the word Marcheshet. Marcheshet could be Rachash Libi Davar Tov, which means something internal. Or the Marcheshet could be Havimarachashan Siftotei, that your lips are quivering. So we don't know if you're talking about something that is exposed or something that is submerged. So it could be that you're talking about a submerged or an exposed mincha, which would be a difference in what type of the pan you're bringing. So that would be another aspect or dimension of safek that we have here. That the question of whether, when you say marcheshet, it means minchat marcheshet based on the deep pan. Marcheshet means the siftotav, marachashin, that your lips are quivering, which means something that's shallow, something that's obvious and open. We don't know if you meant a machavat or a marcheshet, or minchat machavat, minchat marcheshet, or the other safek is we don't know which kli, if you meant the kli or the mincha. So those many spekot. Here's Beit Shammai says, we don't touch it. On the other hand, Beit Hillel omrim, kli hayav mikdash umarcheshet shema. It's very clear. There was a kli in the mikdash, and its name was marcheshet. V'domek amin kalbus amok. It was like a kalbus, a deep kalbos, which the sort of shas, if he says perish klisha yul shlosh regalim, it had some sort of tripod or three legs that held it up. The translations that I saw for kalbos were either a deep mold or a baking form in the shape of forceps. These are the different types. You can see the picture in Rashi. What he has is a kalbos over there, which is some sort of pan that they allowed the menachot to cook in or the dough to cook in, that gave it shape and gave it form. And therefore, kasher batzeg munach b'tocho, dough was inside of it. It's like balls of dough. Domek min tapuche ha bartim, the Aruch has ha bartim, apples from, I saw Cretan apples, which I assume would mean from Crete, apples from Crete, and the other is this kamin belote hayivanim, or Grecian nuts, nuts from Greece, but they were shaped in such a form where, as Rashi describes here, they were circular around it, except a makom knisa. So that means on the bottom where they sat, they were flat, but everything else was rounded. So that's this pan gave this shape to the mincha, and that's what this marcheshet, that's the way it baked in a similar type of fashion. But what we say is, v'omer, v'chol naseh b'marcheshet v'ala machavat. And the pasuk says, anything that is made b'marcheshet, al machavat. Well, b'marcheshet indicates that it's not the maaseh, it's not the action that you're taking. Alma al shem hakelim nikru'u, v'alo al shum ma'asehim. Clear that we're talking about the kli over here. Kli is called a marcheshet, and not the mincha. The mincha is called a mincha marcheshet because it's made in a kli marcheshet. But it's not because of the way you work with it. It's not because that means the mincha, it means the kli. So when you say arei alai marcheshet, according to Beit Hillel, it seems that it would be obvious that you're talking about the kli marcheshet and not the action, not bringing a mincha of marcheshet. If you want to say a mincha marcheshet, then what do you say? You say arei alai minchat marcheshet. This would agree or match with what we said earlier in the Masechta on Daf Gimel. In the Masechta, we had that Rav Ashi said over there that machavat l'shem marcheshet reconciled the position of Rabbi Shimon. So the difference is between you, whether you say minchat marcheshet, minchat machavat, or you say machavat l'shem marcheshet, because b'mano ko machshev. Over there, you're definitely talking about the kli. So there, Rav Ashi also says it's talking about the kli, and that would match, therefore, parallel the sugya we saw earlier with this, and what Beit Hillel says, that we're all just talking about the kli, unless you specify that it says the word mincha. Right now, harei alai bitanur. The next set of menachot that we're talking about are the mincha ma'afet tanur. A mincha mincha me'afet tanur comes in two forms. Pasuk says v'chita kriv karban mincha me'afet tanur solot chalot matzot bululot v'shemen and rikike matzot meshuchim v'shemen. So it could either be chalot matzot or it could be rikike matzot. So it comes chalot or rikikim. As the me'afet tanur has two manifestations, and therefore it says me'afet tanur v'rei alei v'tanur lo yavi me'afet kupach. You can't bring the kupach. We've seen in Shabbos and other places tanur. It's a smaller tanur. The tanur has two places to place the kederot on top of it. But zukpach only has one place, so it's a smaller tanur. So here the Torah says tanur, it means tanur and not kupach. So lo yavi me'afet kupach, below me'afet re'afim, and it should not be baked on tiles, hot tiles. U'me'afet yorot ha'ravayim, and the Arabian fireplaces or furnaces, you shouldn't use those either. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ratzam ivi me'afet kupach, you can do that if you wish. You can bring this, it's called a tanur, it's just a small tanur, so you can bring it. Now if he says, arei alai minchat me'afet, lo yavi mechza chalot, you can't bring it half and half. You can't bring half chalot, half rikikim. Rabbi Shimon, matir mipnei shu karban echad. It's called me'afet tanur. And either of these two is me'afet tanur. You put them together. They're still called the karban mincha me'afet tanur. Therefore, you can bring five chalot and five rikikim, and that'll be just fine. Tanur banan, me'afet tanur, v'lo me'afet kupach, v'lo me'afet re'afim, v'lo me'afet yorot arabiyim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, tanur, tanur shnei pi'amim. He says the word tanur is used in the pasuk twice. It's a miot achar miot. Tanur would come to be mima'et a kupach. The fact that it says it twice. I have that. Then I have ein miot achar miot ela lirabot. Since ein miot achar miot ela lirabot, therefore I have the riboy of kupach, and I can do it in a tanur or a kupach. Because it says here tanur in Vayikra Perakbet, and it also says it again when it speaks about the mincha ma'afet tanur in Vayikra Vav by Tzav, and it speaks about Zot Torah Tamincha. Rabbi Shimon Omer, tanur, tanur, why does it say it twice? Shnei pi'amim. Echad shetei afiyatan bitanur, ve'echad shehei hekteishan bitanur. One is that you have to bake it in a tanur, which is Rabbi Shimon's position, that it must be in a tanur, not a kupach. And the next one is that you have to be makdish it in a tanur. You do not makdish it in a klisharet, but rather the tanur itself is what's makdish, the baking of it in the tanur is what's makdish it. Umi itnei the Rabbi Shimon ha'isvara. Shimon really believed that the tanur is makdish it. That's not. They're kisherot when you're in the Azara. They're kisherot in Beit Pagi, which is outside the Azara. And that means that they were not nigdash. That means the shtei lechem, the lechem panim, are not nigdash. They were in the oven. Then once you take them out of the oven, you have the shtei lechem, lechem panim. They're not on the shulchan. They're not placed with the kivsei atzeret yet. Then they should be kadosh b'kdushat mincha. If they're kadosh b'kdushat mincha, then you should be pasul b'yotzei. So over here, you're taking them out to Beit Pagei. They're called shtei lechem, they're called lechem panim. We're saying they're not pasul. If that's the case, that means that the tanur is not mikadesh them. It must be that the kiddush only happens when you put them on the shulchan, or when you bring them together and do the tenufa with the kibsei atzeret, or even possibly later when you put on the bazicha levona. But either way, it's not happening so early on when you're doing baking it in the tanur. That's the way Rashi learns it. Tosafot back in the early part of the Masechta quotes this Rashi, and he says he doesn't think he's right. He doesn't think even in a minchas nitkadesh b'kli, it's not pasul b'yotzei. But rather, he says that it is just not nice. It's not a nice thing to do. Zilo milsa to take it out to Beit Pagi. Once it's kadosh, then you wouldn't want to take it out to Beit Pagi. So it's not mi'ikar alocha that it's pasul b'yotzei, but it's something that would be unacceptable to take it out, because that would be improper etiquette, and it would be zilo b'milta if you took it out. But either way, what we see here is it can't be the tanur that's giving it that kedusha, because otherwise why would Mishimon make such a statement? So Amarava ema shehei hekdesham l'shun tanur. Not that tanur means you actually become kadosh in the hekdesh in the tanur. Rather, when you are magdishtem, you should say that I'm doing this l'shun tanur. That this is nikdash l'shem tanur, l'shem the minchat mafet tanur. Alright, hari alai minchat mafet lo yavi mechza. You can't bring half and half. Tanur banan. It says in the pasuk v'chi takriv, in pasuk dalid, in Perek Bet, it says v'chi takriv karban mincha ma'afet tanur. So it says v'chi takriv kishet takriv lasot tavar reshut. And when you decide to come to it, then it's a reshut. You don't have to bring a korban mafet anur. Chit agri means when you do bring it. It's your option. Korban mincha, am Rabbi Yehuda, minayin omer harei alai mincha mafet, shelo yibi mechse chalot u mechse rikikin, tamalomar korban mincha. Korban achad amar tzilcha, velo shnayim ushlosha korbanot. So over here you have the word, what does it mean, the korban mincha mafet anur? So that korban comes to teach you that there's only one korban here, and you can't make it into multiple korbanot. So that means that you can either bring it rikikin, or you can make it chalot. You can't mix and match. So Amar lo Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says back to Rabbi Yehuda, wait a minute. V'chi ne'emar karban, karban shnei pe'amim. Does it say karban, karban twice? Halo ne'emar ela karban echad. It only says the word karban once. V'ne'emar bo chalot urikikin. It defines what that karban is. It says, v'chi takriv karban mincha ma'afet tanur. Solet chalot matzot bulot bashemen. Ukikei matzot nishpchim v'shamen. Under the same header karban, it tells you chalot and rikikin. So that means that the Torah describes both the chalot and the rikikim as a single korban. So then I can say, "Hanu amar ela korban achav nevo chalot rikikim ata batzal avi chalot mivi rikikim mivi." You have your option, mechsa chalot, mechsa rikikim mivi ubololan. But then you have to mix them together. But komets mishneim, and then you have to take a komets off of both of them once they're mixed together. Vim komets v'alav yado me'echad ashneim yatsa. But once he's done that, he's mixed them together, and he takes off a komets. If it only comes off the rikikim, only comes off the chalot, that's fine because you have them mixed together. You've taken off the komets. Rabbi Shimon has a good point here. Shimon says that you have the word korban once, and it defines what korban is. It says both chalot and rikikim. Sounds like if you brought both chalot and rikikim, it'd still be under the korban mechem ma'afet tanur. So Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, his son, Omer minayin, how do you know that you have to bring it either chalot or rikikim? So minayin Omer elai mincha ma'afet tanur shelo yibi mechsa chalot mechsa rikikim. Tamal Omer b'chol mincha asher te'afe betanur b'chol anaseh b'marcheshet v'al machavat la'kohen amakrivoto lo tiyeh. So now you have a series of minachot that are mentioned in Tzav. It says b'chol mincha b'lo b'shemen v'chareiva b'chol b'aron tiyeh. So you have a list over here. Ma b'chol amur l'mato. When I deal with the korbanot that are brought the mato. So here, listen to the list is b'chol mincha ma asher mitafe b'tanur. That's one mincha. Then there's b'chol anaseh b'marcheshet al machavat. That's the second series of minachot. And then the third series is b'chol mincha b'lo b'shemen v'chareiva l'chol b'nei aron tiyeh. So you have a pasuk that lists out all these. You have mincha asher tafe b'tanur b'chol anaseh b'marcheshet machavat l'koin amakriv ota lo tiyeh. B'chol mincha b'lo b'shemen v'chareiva l'chol b'nei aron tiyeh. See all these. The second series are marcheshet machavat and chareiva and blula. Each of those are a list when it says b'chol. Each one of those are separate minachot. So that's ma chol amur l'mato. The chol that is mentioned by machavat and marcheshet means b'chol minchat machavat and marcheshet, two different types of minachot. It says b'chol blula b'shem and chareiva, two different types of minachot. Af a chol amur l'mala, chol that it says in the first instance, which is chol mincha asher tafe b'tanur. What does that mean? B'chol asher tase b'tanur. Well, that's the rikikim and the chalot. Shnei minim chalukim. So just like below, when it said chol, it meant these are two separate minim. So too, when it says chol above, it means that they're two different minim. That means chalot and rikikim don't mix and match. They're totally separate minim. So Rabbi Yehuda shapir kamar, Rabbi Shimon. Right, what about Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Shimon has a good point to them, that the word karban is only used once. So how can you learn it out of the word karban? So Zamar Lacha, Rabbi Yehuda responds to you, kevin dechtib bashemen, bashemen, man dechtib karban, karban dami. Because the pasuk says, hitakib karban mecha mafet anor solet chalot b'matzot b'lot bashemen, ukeke matzot mishuchim bashemen. So that bashemen, bashemen teaches you that they're separate. Each shemen has a separate shemen for each of them. And that is referencing back to the word karban. It's as if it said the word karban twice. Well, Rabbi Shimon, ilokti bashemen, bashemen, if he didn't write shemen each one of them, mina davka mechza chalot mechza rikikim. I need the shem to teach me that you could bring one or the other. Because if it didn't have something to separate him, I would think that you have to bring it chalot matzot. You have to bring it chalot matzot and rikikim. Then it says bashem, bashem, teach me you can bring either or. Plus, you can bring it as a mix. Tzavach chalot l'chudai rikim l'chudai imalo. Mashmalon, bashem, bashem, and that it is yes. Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, hainu avua. Yosi Rabbi Yehuda is saying the same thing as his father. Why do they have a separate din? Why are they learning it from somewhere else? Ike b'nayu d'yevet. V'd'yevet, whether it's pasum d'yevet or not, is the machlokas between them. The Rabbi Yehuda learns it out of the word korban. He says that v'd'yevet, it's kasher. It should be a korban echad, but v'd'yevet, it's kasher if it's not. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda learns it out of b'chol. Over there, it's la'akev, because all the other menachot were la'akev. There are two minim, marchesh and machavat, lula, chariva. It means rikikim and chalot are a totally separate korbanot, and b'd'yevet, even b'd'yevet, it's psula if you bring them together.
Going back to the kasha that Yehuda Shaper Kamar, so how does this thing with
Because you have, instead of, if it was really one korban and it could be mixed together, you should have the word bashemen, which modifies the korban on both of them. It should have been written in the pasuk. And just write shemen once. The fact that it separates out the word bashemen by rikikim and bashemen by chalot shows you that they are separate entities. And the word korban, which they are modifying, is each one of them is an independent item and not a single item. And Hafanami, you're right, they're separate, but they're separate to show you that you can bring them individually. You can bring or chalot or rikikim, but it's not separate enough that you can't bring rikikim and chalot together. All right, that's the end of the perek. We'll do quick, we'll get a little start on the new perek, and then we'll continue with that tomorrow. Omer ayabab b'shabab mishalosh sa'im, b'chol b'chamesh sa'im. On a weekday, you bring it from 5 sa'ah, and on a Shabbat, you bring it from 3 sa'ah, and then you sift it down so you get the isaron that you need for the omer. Doesn't matter if it's Shabbos or Chol, you do it the same way. And Shabbat, they used to do it in a quiet way with one individual, one sickle, and one basket. Ubechol b'shlosha, it would be with three people. B'shlosh kupot, three baskets. U'shlosh magalot, in three sickles. Makes no difference. B'shlosha, shlosh kupot, shlosh magalot, three people, three sickles, and three baskets. So b'shlosh marabbanon kasavre yisaron muvchar b'shlosh saim. It's clear what the rabbanon think. They think you can get to a perfectly good yisaron through three sa'ati. B'loshna b'chol, b'loshna b'shabbat. Doesn't matter chol or shabbat, you do it the same well. Elo Rabbi Shmuel, my kasavre. Rabbi Shmuel differentiates between chol and shabbat. What is he thinking? I kasavre yisaron muvchar lo ati el mechamesh. If you're going to get a good yisaron out of five, then afilu b'shabbat nami. Then on shabbat you have to do it. Doche shabbat, then you should be able to do it that way. I mishalosh ati. If you can get from three a good, afilu b'chol nami. Then why in chol you're collecting five instead of three? So you can easily do a Isaron out of five sa'a, good, really good quality Isaron out of five sa'a, without any extra tircha. But tircha, on the other hand, if you work a little harder, ati mishalosh, you do an extra sifting, you do a little extra work, you can get it out of three as well. So b'chol ma'atina mechamesh, from anchol, we do it from five, d'halchi shvicha milto. It's nicer. Then you only have to take the first part that comes out of the sifter each time, you can take the finest of the finest, and you'll end up with the Isaron. B'shabbat, he has a principle. Mutov shirbe b'melacha achat b'arkada. Better that he does multiple siftings. He'll be in violation of a single melacha. V'aryeh b'melachot arbe. Rather than have to do multiple melachot on a larger quantity. Over here, he can do it on three sa'ah, or he's going to have to do multiple melachot on an extra two sa'ah. But rather than do that, we'll say, just do more harkada. Do more sifting. You'll do more sifting, so you work a little harder, but you only be in violation of one melacha, and then we prefer.
Which is better?
That's a nice way to do it, because then you don't have to work so hard, it makes it very fine, it's easy to go. You can get the Yisaron, it only needs to be solid. It doesn't have to be sold to solid. So sold to solid is like a hiddur mitzvah. It's shvicha milsa is that it's a hiddur, it's nicer, it's beautiful, but it's not solid if you do it with three. That's what he's saying. So Amar Rabba, Rabbi Shmuel, Benosh, Rabbi Yochanan, Ben Brokam, Rud Dabar Achad. They're both in the same position. Titania. Arba asa shechol yot b'shabbat. Erev Pesach that falls out on Shabbat, Mafshit at the Pesach, they bring the Korban Pesach, Zdoch at the Shabbat, but then they have to wait till after Shabbat to cook the Pesach, and here to be Mafshit the Pesach, to skin, to flay the Pesach. So the question is, can you flay the Pesach on Shabbat? Because you need the Emurim to go on the Mizbeach, you need to take the Emurim out. So what do you do in terms of flaying the Pesach? So Rabbi Ishmael believes, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokam believes that you're mafshit the Pesach at the chazeh. Flay it, you cut it open until you reach the chest, and then you stop, because after that point you can get out the chalavim. Once you get out the chalavim, we don't permit you to continue to flay it. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokam, b'chamim ad shiyafshit et kulo, you can take off the whole sin, flay it normally, take it off like normal. So milo, amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokam, hatam, kohecha de efshar, lo tarchinan. If it's possible to do what you need to do without going further, don't do it. Achanami, given the efshar lo tarchina. So you'll say the same thing here by the Omer. So they both have this principle that we don't want you to be toreach more than necessary. Mimai, why do you have to say that the same thing? Over here, Rabbi Shmuel is willing to have you do it in three sa'ah, not five sa'ah, because there's no bizayon kochim by doing this. You just have to work a little harder. If you leave it there with it not fully skinned, it looks like an avela. And there are hundreds of carbonotes sitting around. It looks like a bunch of avelot sitting around. So that's a bizayon kochim. So So maybe he'll say over there, Kerabonan spherely, he'll hold it Kerabonan. Inam the other way around. Adkan lo kamer Rabbi Shmuel benosh Rabbi Yochum Meroko, Atam Ella did Avid Lake Tzorech Gavoa. Right then, he's doing something Gavoa, Vlo Tzorech Achule Shabbos. He can do the Tzorech Gavoa, and he doesn't have to be Mechal Shabbos of a Hacha. The way David Lake Tzorech Gavoa, then over here where you don't get the full Hit to Kodesh, Tzorech Achule Shabbos, Ema Kerabonan spherely. He says, I'll be like the Rabbanan. Over there, he says, if you cut it up to the Chazeh, that's sufficient. I get everything I need. Why should I be allowed to be Mechal Shabbos more than that? I have exactly what I need. I get the Chalavim out. Any cutting beyond that is to the benefit of the individual, that he can cut it nicely and that it doesn't look like an Avela. But it doesn't do anything more for the animal, for the Korban. On the other hand, over here, by doing it in five instead of three, you've made it even a finer flour. It's solid, yes, with three, but it's solid to solid. Finest of the flour if you go with five. And therefore, there would be a benefit to doing it in that manner. Okay, we'll step over.